Chris Dodd and Barney Frank of Wall Street Reform fame talk about the great financial crisis shaping current politics. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In early trading on this Wednesday, the Dow is up 121 points, 0.5%. The S&P and the NASDAQ are each up 0.2%. One benchmark for U.S. interest rates is up 3.07% for the yield on the 10-year note. From market numbers to the market zeitgeist here, let's check in with market analyst Susan Schmidt in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, market players are watching what? Trade?
They are watching trade. We have a lot of things going on. Talks with Canada and the ongoing discussion with China.
Yeah, discussion is one word for it. U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods go into effect on Monday. The Chinese countermeasures will go into effect around the same time. So there's certainly a lot to focus on.
There is. Now, remember, the market doesn't seem to be reacting very strongly to this. It's acknowledging all this is noise coming out of Washington. Nothing's been settled yet, and market performance certainly hasn't reacted negatively.
All right. One data point out this morning, housing starts up in August from July, more than expected.
Indeed, but remember, always look for building permits. Building permits were down, so they're mixed bag. Status quo remains.
Market analyst Susan Schmidt in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
Just who is giving money to which political campaigns could become clearer from today. What are called dark money groups will now have to publicly report the source of the money they use to influence political campaigns. A federal court decided to require disclosure, and the U.S. Supreme Court has now opted not to postpone the effects of that. Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
It's 10 years this month since the collapse of Wall Street powerhouse Lehman Brothers, a dramatic catalyst for the greatest financial crisis in generations. This week, we're hearing teachable moments from the two folks who spearheaded the big financial reform law in Congress, former Senator Chris Dodd and former Congressman Barney Frank.
We had passed a wonderful bill and we had done these things, but it was very unpopular. And the problem is, it's hard to get political credit for averting disaster.
Today, here's part of our discussion about whether our political situation today is influenced by the crisis then.
Regular human beings lost faith in the system. They think that maybe the social contract before the crisis was something like, well, let the plutocrats do what they got to do, but they watch out for us. They won't let it fall apart. It started to fall apart, and now people are like, no, they're not watching.
What's going on? You got Turkey, you got Hungary, you got Poland, you got Austria, you got the Philippines. You know, we're seeing, you know, this kind of governance emerge globally. It isn't just here.
Nationalist governance.
Yeah. The financial crisis accelerated it and accentuated it, but that's not the underlying problem. The underlying problem is the nature of growth in developed societies since the 80s, and this is now acknowledged. Growth from the Depression through World War II and the post-war period, growth was good for everybody. We grew developed economies in a way that helped the high-end people, it helped working people. They could go make glass, make autos, etc. And then, beginning in the 80s, and this is, I think, fairly well acknowledged, growth began to be a two-edged sword. It produced more overall wealth in a country, but it exacerbated the way in which it was distributed. So if you were high-end in America or in other developed societies, if you had a lot of skills, a lot of education, sophisticated in technology, you made money. If your only working asset was an ability to go work hard without a lot of skills, you could hurt. And so I think that's the basis for Trump or for Brexit or for the Five-Star Movement in Italy. Mm. It is that economic growth in the developed West has evolved to the point where it has a very unequal effect in the economy.
And someone comes along and promises that I can make you great again and sort of obliquely refer to a time that Barney's just described here when those opportunities existed, and failing to recognize that automation and technology and all of these other matters have intervened in a way, make it difficult for that 50-year-old guy who's just lost his job, who's sitting in a VFW hall and watching his kids move back into the house, and someone comes along and says, I can solve your problem.
So what do you do about it?
Well, here's the deal. People on the liberal side have still accepted a framework in which growth is the dominant goal. And then, recognizing that growth will cause some problems, after you promote growth, you then deal with the question of the inequality of things. So I think going forward, the liberal position has to be, yes, we are going to promote economic growth, but integral to that are going to be ways that we deal with the unfairness and offset that unfairness at the same time.
Even when mainstream economists say, wait, dealing with inequality, that's inefficiency in economic terms.
Yes, and I think that's the mistake that mainstream economists have been making. I think there's a kind of a, it's time to go beyond growth as the number one issue. Producing wealth is no longer enough to sustain faith in democracy. You've got to produce the wealth in a way that promotes fairness as well.
And they don't, and also it's the language about dealing with the inequality of taking care of the unemployed worker, that guy I just described, it seems sort of flat to me. I mean, it's, we'll have job training programs.
Training is good. Retraining, 57-year-old coal miner is probably not going to become a computer programmer. I mean, I couldn't become one, and there are other things the Democrats have been talking about more, and we should, unions. I think if you, the next time you see a Democratic majority in the House or the Senate going forward and in the presidential campaign, there will be a much more explicit set of programs, increasing health care, minimum wage, protecting unions, that deal with this.
To see a full video of my conversation with Chris Dodd and Barney Frank, plus a transcript and other tools for understanding America's response to the great financial crisis, consult marketplace.org under the heading Politics of Crisis. Tomorrow we talk with Dodd and Frank about whether their law is getting nibbled away. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.